And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. There's an African proverb that says, he who cannot dance will say the drum is bad. So we're about to meet a Westerner who uses African drums as a storytelling device for children. And while the jury is out on how good he can dance, it's clear that to him, the drum is good. We now welcome to the show musician and music educator Brandon Draper. His program is called Drum Safari, and his accompanying CD is called Drum Safari. And this is a track off the Drum Safari album. Let's check it out. A taste from a song called Drum Safari. If you had to guess, it's called Drum Safari. Our guest is Brandon Draper. His program is called Drum Safari, and this is a track from the Drum Safari album, the title track, in fact. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man.
Tell us about your program, Drum Safari.
Drum Safari is a kids show that kind of evolved naturally between my wife and I. My wife's a third grade educator in the Shawnee Mission School District, and she also is a percussionist. We met in band in college, and she plays drums, so we kind of, our relationship always involved drumming. We have a three-year-old, and when our daughter was born, we started to spend more time at home, and this kind of naturally evolved into a performance-based project that we could take out to the community and perform with kids. And what we do is we teach kids rhythms using mnemonic devices that are African animals. So every animal has a different specific rhythm with their name. After we've taught them the rhythms, then we pass out around 200 to 300 drums. And those instruments we acquired from our very good friend and mentor, the late Bongo Barry Bernstein, who was a huge fixture in the Kansas City music education, music therapy scene for years and years. So that's Drum Safari in a nutshell.
Beyond Bongo Barry, what made you start with African drums? When did you first become exposed to indigenous rhythms or rhythms of the world, as you put them?
My father is a touring blues and jazz musician, and he played in more adventurous groups than a lot of people in his area. He's from the Midwest in central Kansas, and I started getting into drumming when I was like one or two. I was kicking things, playing things, so I started lessons when I was five with the drummer in his band, who was a college educator. And so congas and tabla and djembe and all these different world instruments were exposed to me at a really early age. And West African drumming specifically, I really got into in high school from just the wealth of world music CDs that started to become available. And if you remember, like the BMG Music Club, and like the CD music clubs where you could order
Columbia
stuff.
Columbia House.
Exactly, total, where you get 10 free CDs. And so I would get a lot of, you know, anything I could find from the world area there. And I've had the privilege of playing and studying and touring with a lot of indigenous artists that really, that's where I learned, you know, hands-on in a folkloric fashion.
So when you toured with African artists and indigenous artists, what did you learn about the spirit of the drum, other than it being an instrument that complemented musical pieces? What did you learn about the culture of the drum?
The drum really is it's another entity. It's a whole other spirit in the room. It's a living, breathing, communicating almost a live spirit. You know, it's not just a device for storytelling and a device for communicating, but the respect for the music and for the drum itself is that of the family. It's really a part of the family. And how all drumming cultures have the drums separated into or categorized as mother, father, and child, and the grouping of three drums in rhythm as well as the physical drums themselves, it basically creates such an honor for the instrument that you would respect just as much as a person in the room.
It's a very organic process as well. And in that vein, what's different about drumming on African drums or conga drums or timbales or indigenous rhythm type drums versus a standard drum set with sticks? What's different?
The biggest difference between the two, I feel that hand drumming, because the culture is so vast and old. I pretty much I've taught at UMKC and the University of Kansas and have a master's degree in percussion performance, and the drum set is one of my primary instruments, but it's barely 100 years old. And so when you play ancient instruments that have been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and for instance, the conga drum is only a few hundred years old, but thousands of years old would take us back to like Egyptian hieroglyphics of women carrying loaves of bread in front of their master. But it wasn't until about 50 years ago they discovered those weren't loaves of bread; those were frame drums. They were frame drums with jingles in them that, to today's standard, we'd think, oh, they were playing tambourines. It was a type of tambourine. And the tambourine is really the first instrument in the Bible. It's the first instrument that is referred to. The sistrum is that instrument. So when you play those instruments of ancient heritage, you naturally feel a connection that is much harder to feel. And the techniques involved are a bit less than what you would have on a drum set with many different parts and pieces that you would have to put together and play in a correct way. And with drumming, that's why so many people are drawn to drumming, because just keeping a simple pulse is enough. It's not what you play, it's that you play.
And it's interesting, you actually have a tambourine in your hand, and we'll get you to demonstrate a little bit as we go through this conversation. But it's interesting to see the narrative thread of the drum from Africa, even through here. The tambourine that you have in your hand is definitely a staple in African-American churches, based on improvisation, based on the spirit, as you mentioned, based on
absolutely
the soul, based on sort of having another person in the room. Tell us how it works with the cymbals. I mean, the Psalm of David mentions the cymbals and the tambourine, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Tell us how it works with the whole arrangement.
With the tambourine that I have, the sistrum and the tambourine that are described in the Bible it's basically a split branch that has two jingles on the inside. And those jingles can make either a rhythm or they can make a sustained sound. If they play just the rhythm, but then it also has a head that can be manipulated. And the style that you would play in a traditional contemporary gospel church, what the style you're playing on the tambourine is not something you learn in school.
No, it's not.
It's something that starts in your gut, and then it just comes out through you in a dance-like fashion. And if you look at a really accomplished church musician jamming out on a tambourine, their hand is literally dancing on the drum. It's not a particular technique that is devised.
I'll do you one better. Not even necessarily an accomplished church musician, but any older black woman on any given Sunday in a church, feeling the spirit just gets up.
Exactly.
Tell us how all of these components of the tambourine come together, and give us a little bit of a demonstration.
Great, sure. This tambourine that I brought with me today is called a pandero, and it's a pandero is how it's spelled, but it's a pandero. It's from southern Brazil, and it's used by playing the head, and the jingles that are in it are not, you don't shake it like you do in church, but the technique is somewhat of a combination, playing with the hand to get the tone and also dead strokes, and it sounds like this.
Listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM on your dial, KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is musician and music educator Brandon Draper. You just heard him playing a natural ancient tambourine. His program is called Drum Safari, which uses African drums as a storytelling and learning device and method and appendage for children. You can see Brandon perform at Family Fun Days at the Sprint Center. Spring Center 14th and Walnut in the Power and Light District. The event is totally free. Kids and strollers are welcome. Brandon Draper encourages kids to bang on drums. Isn't that what it's all about? Getting that energy out?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So your daughter can make all the noise she wants to at home within certain parameters.
There really aren't parameters. Yeah. There's pretty much a drum in every room in our house, so she can go crazy.
So how do you address the obvious when you're out with these African drums? It's a funny question. How do you address the here comes the well-meaning white guy in mud cloth pants with an African drum situation? Have you gotten any pushback or skeptics or curiosity?
What I get the most is, where am I from in Southern Africa? Because in South Africa, there are a lot of white people.
Afrikaners, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Afrikaners. And I've never had any pushback. One thing that I learned very early from my teachers and what I pass on to my students at the high school and the colleges that I teach at is that any traditional music that we learn that we're going to recreate has to be done in the most authentic manner, so that way, if one of my teachers comes in the room while we're playing, they have to feel gratitude. They have to feel that we are respecting them, and there's absolutely no jive is the only word I can think of. It can't be jive. We can't be faking it. You know, I've seen a lot of musicians exploiting and faking certain world styles just because it's an aesthetic.
Right. It's a gimmick.
I can't do that. So what we actually come across the most, the pants that we wear are from Ghana that my friend John Brewer brought back when he studied in Ghana. The balafon that we play that you can see on the back of the CD is a traditional West African xylophone. That's from Ghana. All of our instruments are traditional West African instruments, and the music speaks louder than any color or anything. So the majority of what we get is, where are we from in Africa? And just this past summer, we worked with a group from Kenya. And I said, actually, man, I'm from Kansas. I'm from right here. And they said, no, seriously, that's funny. Where are you from? And I'm like, no, I'm from here. And they're like, how do you, you know, and they naturally, and that's the best compliment that we can get, because it's just, and I want to know more. You know, whenever we're around people that are native to the countries that the music that we're playing comes from, I want to learn more from them. How do you play it? The majority, you know, everyone is a musician in a lot of indigenous cultures. In cultures that have rhythm for thousands of years, everyone plays. They just might not make a living doing it as we can in America.
It's a way of life, and you've made it a way of life. You actually teach about finding your inner voice from drumming. What about drumming, Brandon Draper, has helped you personally find your inner voice?
That's a pretty big thing that we can even get a little deep on. I probably would have been diagnosed with ADHD, hyperactive, the whole nine yards. But as a young child, that was, you know, finding a simple pulse and playing a rhythm and being able to play drums. Growing up, I found a focus. I found a way to focus. And even now, as an adult, if I don't find time to sit and play an instrument, it doesn't necessarily have to be drums. I play guitar and piano and bass as well. So even other instruments, it's the repetition through playing. So even if I'm playing the same pattern on a non-percussive instrument, I'm using the same principles I would on a drum. And that first most important thing is the repetition of a pattern. That is your heartbeat repeating. That's the sun up and down every day, our earth rotating around and the tides coming in and out, the insects and the sounds they make, like all of the rhythms that are around us that are consistent. If we can tap into specific things, we find clarity on all different levels that we might not have before. And so me personally, drumming has helped keep me out of a lot of trouble. It's helped refocus me when I was in trouble. It's helped me to calm and really connect with a lot of people that, you know, I might not have before. And I think that's really the most important component of the drum, is that it's a way to communicate. It's a way to, you know, a lot of the rhythms I learned were from people that couldn't explain to me in English how to play it. One of my first teachers used to steal my notebook that I wrote the rhythms down in. And finally, you know, he told me, he said, you know, it needs to get written in here, and pointed to his heart. It needs to, you know, I need to know it. And it was frustrating because I wanted to write it down. I wanted to learn it, but you know, it's a whole different way of life, really.
You're almost speaking of kind of a percussive ecosystem with the music. You use bucket drums as well, like an impromptu performance at this year's Jiggle Jam, where our own music curator Miles Bonney appeared out of nowhere wearing the colorful pants.
Yep.
Horn was as loud as the pants. Good.
Yeah.
good show with Miles Bonney there.
Yeah.
And you know, rocking the kente cloth pants. Tell us about that experience and the improvisational nature of it. What happened?
What we do is we have a program called Recycled Rhythms that we do with the Drum Safari. And we load plastic buckets, pots and pans, and a bunch of dowel rods that we've cut down to a short size onto a cart. We cover it with a tarp, and we accidentally spill it in the middle of a crowd. And that's what we did at the Jiggle Jam the past few years. And the audience, they don't realize that they're an audience. They are just there with their families to have a good time at a festival, and they see these people spill all this stuff all over the ground, and they get uncomfortable. They naturally either decide they're going to help us pick it up, or they're going to get out of the way because they're just uncomfortable that we dropped it. But then when they reach their hand to help us do something, I hand them a pair of sticks, and then we start playing a repetitive pattern. Kids come from all around and we start jamming out. And at the Jiggle Jam, we played in the fountains on the last day. Miles Bonney also has been doing some performances with us and is an accomplished trumpet player. So it's the perfect addition with the Bucket Jam, because he can come out and play New Orleans style trumpet with no need for any other instrument but just the drums.
Anybody listening to this program hears a Miles Bonney creation every morning, Monday through Thursday, at 10:06. So that's a plug for him.
Yeah.
You use other ritualistic instruments as well, as you mentioned, rainmakers and the instrument thundersticks as well. How do you incorporate these other elements when you work with the kids?
The most exciting thing for kids is imagination and sounds that they haven't heard before, and discovering sound in the same way they're discovering their world as they're learning their alphabet and they're learning how to communicate with their parents and what right and wrong is. And when they come to a drum safari show, they get to experience brand new sounds and then manipulate them themselves. We also use a didgeridoo from Australia to wake the drums up. So that part of the story allows the kids to hear this wild new sound that then energizes them to grab the rest of the drums.
That sort of bass heavy murmur.
Yeah.
You're talking about the Australian horn, yeah. Horn almost, like
exactly.
A tuba almost, deep.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very much like a low brass instrument.
And that wakes up the drums.
Yeah.
Speaking of waking up the drums, let's cue up another sample from the Drum Safari to play as we go out. Hearing a track from the Drum Safari album Marimba Dance. The artist is musician and music educator Brandon Draper. His program is called Drum Safari. His album is called Drum Safari. It's a program where he uses African drums and percussive instruments as educational tools for children. Brandon Draper, thank you very much for coming by Central Standard today. Very fascinating conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
And tune in tomorrow as we explore the story of an interesting three extraordinary trio of African women who've decided to join forces as part of a singing group. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Up to Date is next with a look at Operation Blockbuster, the anatomy of a Kansas City drug bust. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.